Sometimes we think we're getting a soul yes, and therefore we're going to get the outcome that we associate with that yes. So in my case of saying yes to the rule of one, the natural outcome of that, the expectation that was set by the person who introduced this concept was this will lead you to your first seven-figure year. And so I'm feeling lit up thinking, great, this is my soul saying, yes, this is the thing that's going to lead me to my first seven-figure year just in my coaching business. However, what the soul actually wants for us is lessons and opportunities to learn and to grow and expand. Hello, hello, my loves. How is everybody doing? As you might hear it in my voice, I'm getting over a little cold, thankfully feeling like I'm finally on the upswing, but definitely still have some sinus congestion going on. So we're rolling with that here. It's spring break in my household. So this was my first day sitting at my desk in multiple days all week, which is nice. So we've been hanging out at Disney the last couple of days, and Monday I just was sick. So I was laying low and playing a zillion games of Monopoly with JJ per usual. And just trying to give my body a little R&R while at the same time entertaining the kiddos and not doing any work. So that actually felt nice too. It's never ideal to get sick, but I feel like this was probably like the perfect timing if it needed to happen because we were rolling into spring break and did not really have a ton in the way of plans. So that's a little what's happening in my world. All right, I've got a juicy episode for you. You guys are going to love this episode. If you've ever felt lit up by something, but then didn't get the expected outcome, or if you're someone who toggles between wanting to be committed to one thing, but also having a million great ideas that you want to pursue. And if you're someone who feels like once you've publicly committed to something, then you like have to see it through to the very end, you're going to get a lot of value out of this episode. And then I'm also going to be sharing just my March celebrations and stretches. So it's a very real kind of behind the scenes look at my life and business. Okay, just in case you're new around here, I'm your host, Emily June Wilcox. I'm a serial entrepreneur, seven-figure business owner, a mindset junkie, the creator of the Money Wound Medicine Program, a devoted mama of two, and a lover of coffee and crystals. My mission is to put more money in the hands of soulpreneurs through healing money wounds, building abundant businesses, and balancing masculine and feminine energy. When we do this, we collectively uplevel the frequency of the planet and we help usher in new paradigm wealth. And I am so here for that. And I'm honored to be walking the joyous path to millions together. So thank you for being here and tuning into this show. All right, so let's jump right in. If you've been listening for a while, you may have tuned into episode 139, where I talked about the rule of one. And we'll link that episode in the show notes. But I was feeling super inspired by something that one of my coaches taught, which was until you hit your first million in coaching, because obviously I've hit multiple millions in different business models, but I haven't had a seven-figure year just in my coaching business. So she said, until you hit your first seven figures, you focus on five ones. It's called the rule of one. So it's one offer, one message, one target client, one platform for 1 year. And I had just gotten off of a coaching call with her and just felt excited and ready to commit. I'm a sacral authority in human design. And if you've never heard of that or what that means, you can look up your own human design for free. Just search free human design chart. And there's lots of sites all over the internet, but it helps you just understand uniquely how you were designed and how your intuition speaks to you. So mine is through my sacral. And so I know what a sacral yes and a sacral no feels like in my body. And so I really try to commit to listening to that and following my yeses. And it's my higher self or my soul's way of talking to me, right? So essentially I got a soul yes to this rule of one. And after I recorded that podcast episode, I decided to start documenting just the behind the scenes of things that I was doing in order to implement the rule of one and how it was going. So I want to give you guys an update on that and also share just some of the key learnings so far, because we are only 3 months into the year and already there's been so many massive learnings. So here's my little list of things that I tried during the Rule of One experiment that I otherwise would not have done. Because I tend to be wanting to bounce around from idea to idea, from thing to thing, and like in the new of creating. And what the Rule of One was asking me to do was to go deep on one thing. And that one thing I chose was Money Wound Medicine, which is my signature program. And it's the perfect year for it because I'm already writing the book on it and just really in the vibe with that program anyway. So here are some things that I did, fine-tuning things and going deeper into the mastery of selling and marketing that program and delivering that program, that I would not have otherwise done if I had not committed to the Rule of One. So I added a software called UsePROOF to the checkout page. So what this does is it keeps track of people who purchase, and then when you're on the checkout page, it'll pop up with little purchase notifications saying that Susie from Maryland just purchased Money Wound Medicine and Betsy from California just purchased Money Wound Medicine. So it helps give you social proof so that you as the consumer feel safer and more likely to purchase yourself. I also updated the pricing. So I've changed the pricing structure actually a few times over the last few months, which has been inspired in large part by just my focus on this program and trying a lot of different things. I updated the mockup for Money Wound Medicine. So that's like it's almost like the digital picture of the program. I also discovered a misdirected link, and this was a pretty big deal. And I probably would not, who knows how long that would have been there undiscovered had I not been focusing more on this program. And so what will happen for you and your business as you go on and on, if you create a lot of different programs and stuff, is that your tech becomes more complicated. And so even though mine's not like super complicated in the grand scheme of things, it's like, when you have landing pages and checkout pages and different automations to make sure that people are given access to the right things, all of that can get complicated. And just one little missing link or the wrong part of it, a wrong piece of code in the button that they click, can mess things up. And people might not tell you right away. They might just bounce and go somewhere else. So that was a shocking aha moment for me. I also tested, and this was something that my coach recommended as well, before I had where it was a landing page and then you'd click the button basically saying like, yes, I want this. And then it would take you to a checkout page. And I switched it to a landing page checkout page combo. So it's all on one page. So when you click on a button that says, yes, I want this, all it does is it just jumps you down to the bottom of the same page where you put in your checkout information in order to purchase. And so the goal of doing that is to increase conversions. And I don't know that I have enough data yet to say, but one of my coaches who has tons of data on this has said that it's made a massive difference. And I like the simplicity of it. There's nowhere else to go to learn about this. It's not multiple pages. You don't have to hit back and forward on your browser. Here's everything you need to know, and here's where you put in your details, and then you click to submit, and that's it. So intuitively, it feels like it makes sense also. But all of these things, they take time to do. Because it's on the back end of systems, it's more complicated than you would think. It's not just, oh, duplicate. Oh, a checkout page is a different kind of page than a landing page. So we had to like manually copy over like all of the copy, all of the images, etc. I also went through the whole landing page, checkout page kind of thing in mobile view to see most people shop from their phones. And I wanted to check and see how it looked. And I ended up like putting a lot more space in it and tweaking the layout to make it look really nice on mobile devices. I added secure payment icons to the checkout page. I discovered a missing tag automation on the back end of things. I purchased the domain moneywoundmedicine.com. I changed the quiz result text in links. So made some updates there. A lot of people that buy Money Wound Medicine start with my Money Wounds quiz. They want to discover which Money Wounds they have. Shameless plug, if you want to discover which money wounds are blocking you from wealth and you haven't yet taken the Money Wounds quiz, just go to moneywoundsquiz.com. It's free, it's fast, and it's very spookily accurate. Okay, so I made some updates on what once you take the quiz, what information is shared and what links it takes you to next. I also recorded a free money healing workshop. It's not launched yet. I still need to edit it and get it live, but I'm excited for that. The idea is that once you take the quiz, then you could go to the money healing workshop in order to just do a deeper dive and really better understand what's been getting in the way of your wealth and hear more about my personal story and how I was able to alchemize my wounds into wealth. And then I also made significant enhancements inside the program. This one actually surprised me because I always felt like the program was so strong. My students always get amazing results. I've got lots of testimonials. I've got lots of students who go back and rewatch and revisit and just really are big fans of this. But I actually was able to make it even better. And a lot of that really came from this singular focus and this devotion to the Money Wound Medicine program. If you've just been listening to this part, you might be thinking like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I want to do the rule of one. It sounds like all of it has been phenomenal. So now I want to talk about what has not worked. So probably by the end of February, so not really that long after committing, I felt like my business was lacking momentum and like it was actually going backwards because I was used to getting more sales and more transactions through just various things, selling different things at different price points, etc. And so I was like in this awkward in between where I was making a lot of updates to Money Wound Medicine. And I felt like I was showing up really powerfully on social media. But a lot of the people who had expressed interest hadn't crossed the finish line and hadn't purchased the program. Of course, some did, but it wasn't like I had gotten this avalanche of evidence and proof that, oh yeah, this works, just stick with this one thing. It was like this awkward in between of, I don't yet have the proof that this is all working. And in the meantime, I feel like I've given up on the traditional ways in which my business has felt good and has felt like it's increasing momentum and such. I also was only focused on Instagram. This is not even true. As I'm saying this, I'm like, is this actually true? No, it's not. But sometimes Instagram can feel like crickets to me. Now, it's true that some of the other platforms do also. But because I used to show up on more than one platform, it always felt like I was getting some engagement somewhere. And then when I was only focused on Instagram with the rule of one, there were times where then it just felt like crickets. So again, it had this feeling of backwards progress in my business. And so I know myself well enough to know that there was a part of me that wanted to be like, nope, I'm committed. I gave my word. I said it out loud on my podcast. I am sticking with the rule of one. And then there was a part of me that's, yeah, but you know how to make sales and you know how to generate momentum in your business. Like, why wouldn't you just do that? And so I gave myself permission. The date 222 was coming up and I just gave myself permission to run a 222 sale and just throw out all different kinds of stuff. And I was having fun with the numbers. So I had offers anywhere from $2.22 up to $22.22 and like everything in between. And I sold some stuff that was easy and already done. And then I also threw out some brand new offers as well. So that kind of shook things up a little bit energetically. And I could really feel myself responding to what felt like the newness. The other thing that happened is that I really started understanding a new tax strategy that could save me anywhere from $40,000 to $60,000 a year and help me build passive income and generational wealth. And I was getting all lit up and excited about that. And again, feeling the sacral yes. And I know that I'm meant to follow the yeses. So I decided, you know what? Let me just follow the yeses and let this be what it is. And here's the thing. I'm a manifesting generator in human design, and manifesting generators are like doing all the things all at once. Like, it really works well for us to, I don't want to say multitask exactly because it's not quite that, but it's like having a lot of irons in the fire. And so for a hot second, it was good for me to focus. And I gave you that long list of all of these things that I would not have done if I hadn't been focused. Like, it really helped me to prioritize my energy on a daily and weekly basis. But then when the energy just started feeling and other things were lighting me up, I needed to move toward those things that were lighting me up and not stay in the energy just because I'd committed to something. And I think there's a bigger discussion to be had here that's really so helpful. And it's something that I have to remind myself of pretty regularly as well. So what is our soul actually leading us to? So my soul speaks to me through my sacral, that intuitive yes or no to things. And sometimes we think we're getting a soul yes, and therefore we're going to get the outcome that we associate with that yes. So in my case of saying yes to the rule of one, the natural outcome of that, the expectation that was set by the person who introduced this concept was, this will lead you to your first seven-figure year. And so I'm feeling lit up thinking, great, this is my soul saying, yes, this is the thing that's going to lead me to my first seven-figure year just in my coaching business. However, what the soul actually wants for us is lessons and opportunities to learn and to grow and expand. And of course, like, I know that I'm here for wealth, both for myself and for others. There's no doubt about that. And I know that my seven-figure coaching business is inevitable, whether it happens this year or next year or in 5 years or in 10 years, it, to some degree, who cares? I'm doing the work that I love, that I'm meant to be doing. And the money is a byproduct of that. And the money has been lovely so far. And I know that it will continue to sustain me. But when we think that we're going to get a certain outcome, then it can feel like, wait a second, why did my soul lead me to this? And in my case, it's, oh, I got the soul yes for the rule of one, not because I was meant to follow the rule of one to the T and do that for the whole year and have $1 million year. It's, I was meant to go deeper on these certain things, make the tweaks and updates that I made to Money Wound Medicine. And it was a reminder to me, it was like a living lesson of staying true to myself and my design over anything else that anyone says, because other things that work for other coaches aren't necessarily going to work for us. I would suspect that the coach who taught me about the rule of one is a generator. And a generator in human design is meant to be more focused on one thing, and one thing will light them up for a long time. But it's not true for a manifesting generator. In fact, it's so comical, actually, that one of my girlfriends sent me this April Fool's post that was written by someone who is like a human design expert, right? So on April Fool's, they posted basically like all the bullshit, like opposite day kind of stuff. So it was said, April affirmations for manifesting generators. Pick one niche and stick to it for life. It, play small, temper your enthusiasm, make pro cons list for everything, always listen to and follow other people's advice. And it just goes on and on. And it's obviously a joke, but it's hilarious that the first thing it says is pick one niche and stick with it for life. And it's, oh, damn. Basically, what I was trying to do with the rule of one was essentially what's a parody of what not to do as a manifesting generator. And it's not like I didn't know that when I committed to doing the rule of one. There was a part of me, if you go back and listen to episode 139, where I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stick with this. But I trust myself enough that I'm willing to follow my yeses. And I'm willing to come on here publicly and say, okay, I'm changing course. And it doesn't mean that I'm not coachable. It doesn't mean that I don't have follow through or anything like that. It's just that I'm going to follow my intuition and I'm going to live in accordance with my design, even if that doesn't fit someone else's five rules. This is going to be especially helpful for you if you're also someone who struggles between, do I stay committed or do I pursue all the things? So hopefully I've given you some things to consider and my own pros and cons of it. And honestly, I think there is an in-between. Everyone's business is going to be unique, but maybe it's each month you focus on a different offer. So that way you're doing the best of both worlds. There's some focus and there's some depth, but then you also get to play in the newness of what's lighting you up. Okay. So now that we've talked about the rule of one and I've given you that update and we've talked about what your soul yes is actually leading you to, I also just want to share the celebrations and stretches, the behind the scenes of March. So March is birthday month for both of my kiddos. They're both Pisces. So Faye turned 9 and Jude turned 6. So it was nice to celebrate both of them. And also, it's a lot of work. Like, we tried to do low-key birthdays, and yet somehow it still seemed like just nonstop birthday celebrations for 2 weeks straight, including a trip to Great Wolf Lodge that we did in March. But it's also like buying the birthday balloons for them to wake up to in the morning, and the cake, and just a lot of logistics. And they wanted to bring cupcakes into their classes at school and such. And so I was really feeling like, oh my goodness, I am so glad their birthdays are over. I'm going to have so much logistical bandwidth freed up inside of my mind because there were a lot of one-off kinds of things happening in March, the first 2 weeks in particular. And in the midst of all that, in between both of their birthdays, I flew to Phoenix for a Facebook ad event. I can't remember if I already talked about that on the show or not, but it was really quite lovely. And as universe would have it, I also got to have a sleepover with my bestie. She was in Phoenix passing through for a different event. So she stayed at my hotel with me, and it was really fun for us to have that visit time. I also got to have breakfast with another soul sister. We were in a mastermind together back in 2019 and 2020 and have just stayed in touch ever since. So I was only in Phoenix for 2 nights and did 2 days of training for the event that I went to, plus got the sleepover, plus got breakfast with a friend, plus met so many cool new people. So it really felt some awesome time bending that was happening on that trip. Later in the month, I flew up to Napa Valley to visit one of my business besties, Kimberly. She's been on the show a couple times. That was super fun. She's pregnant right now. And so I just got to give her all of my mommy wisdom that she was asking for, by the way. I wasn't just like spewing unsolicited advice at her. But she's got the cutest little town that she lives in. It's super walkable. So we did lots of walks and lots of window shopping and lots of good food. And it was just the chill trip that I needed after all of the nonstop going that happened in March. A stretch that happened at that trip is that I missed my flight on the way home, which has not happened in more than a decade. And I was really beating myself up about it. And I had to, like, I went back to Kimberly's house and she was out to dinner and I took a shower to clear some of the energy. And then I meditated did a guided meditation for 30 minutes. And then I still felt this anxiety in my body. Like, I really wanted to be home with my kids and I was just judging myself and I was upset that the whole thing happened. And so then I did some EFT tapping. And after all of that, felt more chill about the whole thing. Your girl has to use all the tools in the toolbox sometimes as well. I still don't know exactly why it happened. It's not anything bad happened to the people who were on the plane, or there's no obvious reason why I missed the flight, but maybe it was just universe wanting me to practice a little surrender and trust, and that things are not always going to go according to my plan and I don't have to know why, and can I just roll with it? And that's maybe a forever lesson for me. Like, I do love some control sometimes. But I also was like in my feminine the whole time that I was in Napa. That's the reason I missed the flight, because I was just like la-ti-da, not paying attention to days and times, any like logistical kinds of things. So there is a part of me that's really good at letting go of control, but maybe it's exploring that little middle ground where it's, yeah, you don't really have to be in control, but also you need to pay attention to certain logistics. What else? What else? I took a voice lesson for the first time in March. I've done 2 of them now, so maybe I did both in March. I don't know. That was definitely a major stretch for me. I grew up thinking that I did not have a good voice. I would listen to my mom criticizing herself that she did not have a good voice. And so I just always thought it was like this fixed thing. And I always wished I had a good singing voice, but didn't feel like I did. And then over the last couple of years, where Jeff's been learning all these songs on acoustic guitar, and it's really helpful for him to have vocals, and he wants me to sing along, he's just, your voice is really good. It's really good. So he bought me a voice lesson, and I was scared to even book it. I don't know. It was like there was something that felt like, oh no, you actually have to have a good voice in order to take voice lessons. And who do I think I am? That was the kind of the root energy was, who do you think you are taking a voice lesson? And I told all of this to the instructor on the phone beforehand when I booked it. And she was so sweet and totally understood the energetics behind all of it. And then even when I was there, I was like so nervous and sweaty, like the whole lesson. And obviously when you're nervous, it affects your voice as well. But the lesson was good. She was like really impressed with my range, and there were a lot of very affirming things in the lesson as well, but it was just still pretty uncomfortable for me. The second one was significantly better, still not my favorite thing, but it definitely gave me a lot more confidence in my singing. And I noticed that after that first lesson, then the times that I was singing with Jeff or with other people, I was like trusting my voice more and trusting that I actually am on pitch and like all of these different things. Maybe it's a celebration and a stretch. I think I already shared this, but definitely have felt really excited this past month about just exploring ways to leverage the types of asset classes that the IRS favors in terms of tax mitigation strategies. I've talked about this a little bit on social media as well, and I'm super proud of myself because when you start talking about 0.0% effective tax rate on income tax, you definitely get some opinions. And I got those in the comments, and I'm not going to say, oh, I wasn't triggered. I don't care at all. That is not true. But I wasn't willing to, you know, take down the post or just go into full people pleaser mode. And it was a good stretch for me to just sit with the discomfort of being more controversial and allowing myself the permission that if I need to be someone else's villain, that's okay. Like, I know what's in my heart and I'm willing to be true to myself. And if someone else wants to project villain vibes onto that, then that's for them to do. And on that note, I reached out about a collab with another woman, and we're really exploring ways that we can invest together and bring other women into it, which just feels so on mission for me, helping more women create new paradigm wealth. So more to come there. We also got a pool slide, which is such a dream come true. And it could be its own metaphor of the manifestation process because, you know, it started out as just like an idea. And then we were looking up like DIY, build your own pool slides, different ideas online. And Jeff was keen on that for a while, but I wasn't fully sold on it. I just didn't want the backyard to look jankety, like this maybe sketchy looking structure that had the slide. And then I found on Facebook Marketplace that there were people who were selling their old pool slides because they would do like a backyard remodel and they would sell like the original ones. So I tried a few times to reach out to those sellers and realized that these are hot commodities and they go really fast. And it's whoever can pick up today with cash in hand and has a big truck. For us, it's, yeah, I'm probably not going to be able to come today with a truck when you live 2 hours away from me and I'm gonna have to strap down a slide and somehow get this thing back to my house. So it never really happened last summer, and I was okay with that. I still had full faith that it would happen at some point, but just let go of the timing. And this time it got to be so easy. It was like somebody posted it. I messaged him right away. I'm like, can I Venmo you a deposit? And then we'll work out picking it up sometime in the next week. He was like, sure. And then I found someone to just go do the pickup for me. So I didn't even have to deal with it, didn't have to stress about whether it was strapped down properly, whether it was going to go flying off a truck on the freeway, none of that. They came, they delivered it here, and then Jeff got the right bolts to bolt it down into the concrete, and bada bing, bada boom, we've got a really cool pool slide, and the kids are absolutely loving it. We're going to have a little pool party here in a couple days just to celebrate the end of spring break and let the kiddos all have fun on the pool and with the new slide. Also, this is a fun one. My vehicle was having this little issue where it's a Mercedes SUV, and there's this soft close technology with the trunk of the car. And so it's supposed to be that you just push a button and it closes on its own sort of slowly. And once it's closed, then this part gives it like an extra little tug in. And something was off with that. And so it was on my dashboard displaying that my trunk was open all the time, even when it was closed. And then that meant that the backup camera wasn't working because it thought the trunk was open. And so it was like an annoying issue, but also not something like mission critical to the car. And I just had it in the shop semi-recently for a fair bit of work. And that was like the last time it was under warranty. So I knew this was going to be out of warranty and I really didn't want to bring it back into the shop. And so I just asked God, can you just fix this for me? Can you take care of it? Like lead me to whatever needs to happen so that it can just be taken care of. And at first I thought that meant that like it was going to be taken care of through my husband and that he was going to figure it out and figure out how to fix it or whatever. But then something even better happened, which is my husband had his Bronco into a new little shop that's like actually super close to our house for a small thing. And he mentioned it to the guy. And so then when I went to drop off Jeff so he could pick up the Bronco, the owner was there and he was like, let me see the trunk issue. And he just pushed a few buttons and closed it. And he's like, check now. Does it show that it's open? I'm like, no. And he's like, there you go. I fixed it for you for free with just like a huge smile on his face. And it felt like such a God wink moment where universe was like, there you go. It's fixed for you. So it's fun to have that taken care of and so worthy of celebrating. What else? Oh, okay. So last celebration is that I got 39 new client transactions in March. And they were all through low ticket sales and all came via ads. So these are people who didn't know me at all and saw an ad from me and clicked on it and purchased. And that is such a dream come true. It's something that I've been working on and been wanting. And it's been so fun to see sales popping in very regularly, on average, like more than one a day, and knowing that these are new people in my world and that they're going to get insane value out of the program that they're in and probably will continue buying more programs and maybe even upgrade into mastermind or one-on-one coaching, but that all of it happened through essentially passive efforts, right? You record the ad once, you record the program once, you write up the ad copy once, and then new people are seeing it. And that's definitely part of the dream that I have with creating a business that's more passive income and more time freedom. All right, we talked about stretches. We talked about the voice lesson, the nonstop activities, getting sick. It wasn't just me getting sick either. It was like the kids were sick for 2 weeks. We very much limped into spring break. And then oddly, I wrote this one down. I actually had trouble like letting go of control when it came to the pool slide. Like the guy thought that I was going to come and pick it up and he's like, I'm going to give you all these extra parts and I'll show you this and I'll show you that. But I really didn't want to drive an hour to his place when someone else was going to pick it up for me. And it was this fascinating observation because I could see the part of myself that wanted control. And I was like, maybe I should go just to make sure that everything works out well, that there's no lost in translation, that we get the extra parts, that everything gets loaded on properly. I'm like, Emily, let it go. Let it go. What are you actually going to do? If there's a problem loading the slide onto the truck, are you really going to be able to fix that? No. If the guy forgets to give the extra parts, is that a big deal? No. Let yourself receive. You've set it all up. Just let yourself lean back, relax, and receive. And it was difficult to do, but I could see the growth opportunity even in that moment. And of course, as I've shared the celebration, now it's all here and it's great. And it feels, oh, it's just like this happy celebratory thing. But that's why I also write down the stretches, because even I forget. I wouldn't have thought to say this if I hadn't taken a note on it, but it's, oh yeah, a few weeks ago, I was like a little anxiety case about this pool slide and the whole transaction and yada yada. But now it's here and it's fine and it's all good. And I got to just let everyone else take care of their parts and it was fine. So let's talk about money for March. My coaching business brought in $10,415. Elevate brought in $84,101 for a total of $94,516. It's been a good Q1 for the businesses. And oh my gosh, for how little I have worked this year, I am so grateful for the ways that money and business and people are here and supporting me and giving me the time freedom and the freedom of choice that feels so important to me and my family. So thank you so much for tuning into this episode. I hope you got a lot of value out of it. As always, you can tag me on Instagram at mmakesmoney and let me know that you're listening. Let me know what you liked and I will talk to you next week. Listeners like you have made this a top 3% global podcast. So thank you so much for tuning in. Please like, subscribe, share, and leave a review. I also love hearing listener feedback, so feel free to slide into my DMs on Instagram at mmakesmoney. If you would like to explore hiring me as your money healer and business mentor, hit the link in the show notes or head to explore.emilywilcox.com. Until next time, I'm sending you all the magic money vibes on your joyous path to millions.